But I just ask that you don't watch me praise, but that you praise with me. And I'll be the first to report that I've witnessed many, I've witnessed God's strength and his might. And I'll be the first to report that God is still working miracles today. And I truly believe that he's going to work a miracle with my brother. And I'm just waiting for it, honestly. I'm just waiting for it. But I ask that you praise with me as I sing this song. This song means a lot to me. And it really talks about what we're going through, my family and the church as a whole.
blessed to be in this service one more time.
Amen.
We thank God for all the ladies and gentlemen.
Too female, I should get up.
It's not a bad thing. We're just blessed. We thank God for all that He's doing. You know, we're making some adjustments. How many know whenever you make adjustments, there are some awesome changes?
Yeah.
But nevertheless, the most important thing in all that we're doing is that the presence of the Lord is here.
Amen.
The scripture says, two or three of us are gathered together in His name, that what? He's in the midst. So we don't care about the music. We don't care about the singing. All we want to make sure is that Jesus is here. Because the scripture said, in His presence, is the fullness of joy, and at His right hand there are pleasures. And I often talk to people and say, I just don't have no joy, I don't have no pleasure. It's because you got to come to where it's at.
Right.
God's joy is in the house of the Lord. God's pleasure is in the house of the Lord. Amen. So we just thank God. Today we thank God for my wife. Amen. We thank God for all of you. And we thank God for everyone that made the sacrifice, preparations, even the praising. We thank you all. You stay here after midnight on Friday, trying to get the sound system right. It still wasn't right, but nevertheless, we thank God, amen. It takes everyone in the church doing their part. And the thing is this, we know that sometimes you have to make adjustments. As long as we do it in the unity of the Spirit, God is in our midst, amen. So let us stand for our scripture reading this morning. Overwhelming to see the amount of support that we received last evening for Brother Justice, amen, the coaches, the comments, amen. We just have so much to thank God for. And I was speaking to someone recently, and they were telling me about all of their problems. And they asked me, said, well, how is your grandson? Well, I told them about my grandson. They said, well, let me recant on what I just said. He said, compared to your grandson, I don't have no problem.
All right.
So all of us might have some stuff that we've been going through. But none of us have been diagnosed with terminal cancer in the fourth stage with limited time to live. So we ought to have a mind to say, thank you, Jesus. Well, you just ought to have a mind to say, thank you, Jesus. Maybe you don't have what you want. Maybe you're not in a place where you want to be. Hallelujah, but you're not facing a death sentence because of your health, so you ought to say, Lord, I thank you. You ought to say, Lord, I thank you. I just want to take time to say thank you, Lord. Can we all just give God a praise? Listen, let your own special way. I see in your, I'm not telling you how to do it, but in your own special way, just tell him thank you. Let's take a few moments of worship here.
Stop right there,
because the Lord is
my shepherd.
Yes, Lord. couldn't bless you enough for your mercy. Lord, if we had a thousand tongues, we couldn't bless you enough for how good you've been. Lord, you've been a way maker. Lord, you've been a keeper. Lord, you've made ways out of no way, and for that we say thank you. And Lord, as we assemble together in your presence, we ask you to send the word. Lord, send the word in our collective lives as a church. And then, Lord, send the word in our individual lives, because you know what things we have need of before we ask. But you can ask, and you shall receive. So, Lord, we're asking you today to speak to our circumstances. Somebody else might not understand, Lord, but you know everything we're going through. So, speak, Lord, for thy servant here. And for this we say, thank you, Jesus. Can the church say in Jesus' name? So we're going to deal with the Lord being a shepherd today. And our message is this. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? Amen. And there's some characteristic traits of a shepherd. The David said, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. Every one of your needs, God will supply them if he's your shepherd. But there's some qualifications for the Lord being your shepherd. Amen. He can't live and do anything you want to do and then claim that the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. So let's go to St. John's for a quick moment to verse chapter 10. And I'm just going to read two verses of scriptures here. And John, the 10th chapter, that being verses 4 and 5. So the Lord is our shepherd. How many want God just to be your shepherd?
Amen.
If God is your shepherd, you don't have to worry about anything. Amen. I read recently an acronym for fear. I don't know how many of you know this acronym for fear. And it was very impressive, and it's also impactful. Because fear is false experiences. Right? Fear is false experiences appearing to be real.
Amen.
I was like, wow, that's amazing. Right? We're talking about self-fear. Amen. That's a fear when you go out to real self, that's fear. But we're talking about when you create an atmosphere of fear within yourself. And nothing has happened. Amen. So fear is false experiences appearing to be real. Amen. Some people are just shut up. They don't trust God. They won't believe God because of false experiences. And they're not true experiences. They are experiences that we create in our own mind. So fear. No wonder the scripture said God has not given the saints of God the spirit of fear. Because when you fear, you're saying fear has more power than God. But if I know the Lord is my shepherd, I don't fear because the Lord is with me. Can we say hallelujah? Well, John, the 10th chapter, verse 4 reads, and when talking about the shepherd, and when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep, if he's your shepherd, you got to do what?
Follow
him. Right? Not follow me. We know that Jesus and Peter calls him the great shepherd. Said, when the great shepherd shall appear. Right? So we know he's the great shepherd. Amen. But if you're following him, then he's your shepherd. So today, if you're not following him, how can he be your shepherd? Right? I'm just trying to define the church. I was speaking with Bishop earlier this week. He said the church is just so messed up. They're following people. They're following all of this existential stuff that appears to be church. He said most of the churches today are allowing people to sin and tell them God is all right with them. Right? Well, he kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden because of sin. He kicked Lucifer out of heaven because of sin. How are you going to excuse us sinning?
Amen.
Right? So sin is still Because the wages of sin is
death.
Yeah, we serve a merciful God. He's loving, he's kind. Amen. But yes, God wants us to be obedient to him. So how can you be obedient if you're not following? Are y'all with me? So I want to be obedient to God, but I don't follow God. I do what I want to do. Well, my question to you is the Lord your shepherd? Because if the Lord is your shepherd, yea, I can sing with confidence. Yea, though I walk. I'm just saying, if you are obedient, you don't worry about what God's going to do. Because he is your
shepherd.
So he said, they follow him, for they know his
voice.
Amen. We're living in a day and time where people are following a whole lot of stuff, but it ain't God. It ain't in the Word. And I often say, if it's not in the Word, I don't use it. I heard the apostles, when they told them to stop speaking in the name of Jesus, they said, we can only speak on the things which we have seen and heard. So if I haven't seen it, and it's not in the Word, I don't follow it. Because that's a new theology. Amen. And the scripture said, Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and so he has not changed. So I don't want something new. I just want to be right in my spirit. I just want to be right in my soul. Well, the question, how can I be right if I'm walking in disobedience? If I'm not obeying the voice of the Lord, they would say, well, my best friend told me this. They said, you know, I don't know something like a lady. You know, they told me all this and all that. What did God tell you?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So we get caught up in all these people talk.
Yeah.
And we forget about what the Lord says.
Yeah.
All right, so they say, his sheep hear his
voice.
Hear his voice. Verse 5 says, and they. Okay, so let's stop right for a moment. It's our personal decision. Which force are you following? Amen? I can't answer for you. You can't answer for me. But you know today, what force are you following? Are you following the voice of the shepherd? Are you following the voice of the stranger? Amen. Everything that the shepherds tell you is from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22 or whatever the last verse is, 12 or whatever. So everything the good shepherd tells you is in the Word. If you're doing some stuff that's not in the Word, I want to know who forcing you from. Right? Amen. You with me? You got to follow God to be a shepherd, if he's your shepherd. It says, verse 5 again, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee, for they don't know the voice of a stranger. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And because my sheep hear my voice, they won't follow the voice of a stranger. Amen. And I was reading recently about a gentleman, he was went out where all of these shepherds were grazing their sheep. He said there were sheep all around, there were shepherds all around. But about evening time, when it was time to put the sheep back in, all the shepherds began to call their sheep. And he said he was amazed to see that not one sheep went to the voice of a stranger. He watched, he observed this, and all he could think about was the scripture that said, my sheep hear my voice. So every sheep went to the voice of the shepherd. And then as it was time to go in, they followed him. My question today is, if Jesus is your shepherd,
yes,
are you
following him?
Yes. I went to this church years ago, and I had this problem. I actually followed the church. And I had a problem with this pastor, these people. I didn't say follow them. I'm talking about following
Jesus.
The voice of a stranger. They will not follow. Amen. And he leads them out. He talks about the shepherd dwelling between the cherubims. And he calls him the shepherd, and he calls us the sheep. In Isaiah 40, the Bible lets us know in verse 1, he says, comfort ye my people. And then he drops down later and talks about the Lord being our shepherd and us following him. Well, what preceded us following him is he gave us comfort because we obeyed him. And as you pull up, yes, right there, thank you. Isaiah 40, he didn't just say one comfort. He says what? Comfort ye, comfort ye, comfort ye, comfort ye my people. And then he drops down a little further. Now you all can read in between those verses. But then he drops down a little further. I believe, let me see what verse it is so I don't get it wrong. Let me drop down to verse 11. All right, we go down to verse 11. And the scripture says, and he shall feed his flock like a, I don't have no comfort. I don't have no peace of mind. I wake up daily in fear. I don't know what's going to come my way. Well, you don't have comfort, because you're not following the shepherd. You're not hearing the word. The Son is saying, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. So the problem is there's a whole lot of voices that are in the word today. There's a whole lot of spirit that are in the word today. The scripture says this, that we ought to try the spirits and see if they be of God or not. If you go to a place, I don't care if you don't like it, if your soul is being fed, you need to say, Lord, speak to me. You ought to say, Lord, guide me. You ought to say, Lord, show me, and then give me a mind to be obedient and to follow you. Now let's go back to Psalms 23. So if Jesus is your shepherd, do you know his voice? Right? Jesus is my shepherd. But Jesus is over here and you follow the voice of a stranger. Now, you know how you have imitators and people that can duplicate stuff? My brother told me of a story that he went to a funeral down in New York City. Anybody from New York City know his kind of. New York City is massive. So he went to a funeral in New York City. But the problem was, they had several funerals with the same kind of cars. And he was down there and he said, they all had the same kind of lead cars. This is my brother Joe. So he went to the funeral, and what happened was they all had some kind of way, they all merged together. When they all merged together, they split, and they all looked alike. So Joe said they all got to the funeral, got to the cemetery. He said, they got the car. He said, I don't know these people. Right, because he was following. He was following the wrong car. But it looked like the right car. Everything was in line like the right car, but it was a. You got to know what you're following, and you got to know who you're following. Because in the end, you want to step out and say, I'm in the wrong place. Can we say praise the Lord? So I'm wondering today, how many are really following the Lord and obeying him, or how many have been tricked?
Amen.
How many have been tricked? When you get to the cemetery, you get out and say, whoa. All this, and he said, all the cars were the same color from the hearse north. And he got there, he said, I don't recognize none of these people. Except the wrong radio. It's funny. But look at your soul. When you think of your soul, you're following. It looks like, it sounds like, it ain't true. It could be true. But there's coming a day of reckoning. Because the Bible said we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in our bodies. Now we've been following the hearse. You with me? Now it's the judgment seat. Because the scripture says it's appointed unto man. We all gonna die unless God calls us in the great snatch. Alright? So I don't use rapture because it ain't a Bible term. So I just excuse me on that. Alright, so we're gonna get called when one day in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump.
We're going to all be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So I just like to be caught up. The Bible said if you have part in the first resurrection, I just like to call it the first resurrection. Right, so I don't use terms that aren't biblical, because I need to know the source of where they came from. How many of you know the devil is a duplicator? The devil is an imitator. And the devil's stuff is so powerful, Jesus said, if it is possible, even the listen, that's an elect, and then that's the very elect. Right, Elder Gales was going on this other day, he's telling me, I'm going to borrow his word. He said, you know, we know the elect can be deceived, but the very elect, there has to be a spirit of deception that's going on today. Amen. So my question to you, forget about all of the stuff you had in your mind. Forget about all the stuff people said. What voice are you listening to? What voice are you following? Because if it's the voice of the shepherd, he'll lead you beside still waters. Now, why does the shepherd lead the sheep beside still water? Because sheep won't eat when the water's running. Sheep are disturbed when the water's running. Sheep can't get comfortable when the water is running. So it's the shepherd's job to make sure he puts in a place where you can be comfortable. So he leads me beside the still water. Anybody want to be led beside the still water today? Well, you got to follow the shepherd. Verse 2 said, he maketh me to lie down and well, the shepherd won't take you to a pasture that don't have food for you. So the shepherd's going to guide you. He's going to lead you. Amen. But he's going to lead you in a place where he can say, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And that's why the shepherd leads you. So the shepherd won't lead you up to a place that's barren. A shepherd won't lead you to land that's dry. But he leads you to the green pastures. Because you are following the voice of a shepherd. But when you follow the wrong voice, when you step out and look good, or when you step on the other side, you say, whoa, how did I get here? You've been following the wrong voice. Yeah. And you don't know the shepherd for yourself. Yeah. But I choose to know him for myself. Can we say hallelujah? Hallelujah. He restored. Now when you follow God, some people are giving up on God, and unfortunately, some even saints are winding up in mental institutions. I believe it was the late Pastor Franklin said that they found out that I think 60% of people in mental institutions are backsliders. Like what? 60% of people in mental institutions are backsliders. Whoa. How can this be? How can people that have followed the Lord wind up in an institution? Because the devil, once he gets your mind, he ain't gonna let it go. Once the devil get a hold of you, he's not gonna let you go. Then he's gonna use manipulative tactics to make you keep following him. So some of you happy, you say, wait a minute. Now, this ain't happening to you. You say, well, I know that's the wrong thing to do. There's, man, in my spirit, I just know that's wrong. But this is easier to do. So I think I'll do the easy thing instead of doing the right thing. So you do the easy thing instead of the right thing. And the one thing about sin and going wrong, the more you sin, the easier it is to sin. The more you do the wrong thing, the easier it is to do the wrong thing. So in the beginning, when you do the wrong thing, your conscience pricks you. Your conscience bothers you. And you say, I can't do that because I cannot sin against God. But the devil will tell you, it's all right, he'll forgive you. So you say, well, okay, I'll do this one time. Don't bite that bait. Are you with me? Don't bite the devil's bait, because when you do it the one time, you're not following the voice of the shepherd. But now you're following the voice of the stranger. And the more you follow the stranger, the further you get away from God. And then when the stranger gets you to a place of no return, he takes your mind, and you wind up being led in an institution by somebody else because you didn't make a stand to follow. and I have a little talk with Jesus. Amen. And I had a couple of pastors say, why you won't do what I told you to do? I said, because God didn't give me that release. Come on. God didn't give you that release. That's why you don't have to wait for God to give you a release. Oh, I know. Listen, when we were down, he was courting her. He was courting himself. He kept inviting. Said, well, why are you taking so long to make this decision? I want to give you a little bit of this or that. The other thing, I said, well, yeah, but for 31 years, I kind of fought divorce of a man.
Amen.
I learned from fighting divorce of a man. I don't follow the man's voice anymore.
Amen.
Especially when a lot of those years following the man's voice, my spirit wasn't in it. You with me? You with me? You found yourself in your spirit is crushing you. Your spirit is eating you alive. So I said, sir, I had to hear from God for myself. I'm not going to do what I did for 31 years. He said, well, you don't have to wait. Just do what I... No, sir. You know what I'm saying? So our problem is we keep hearing stuff, and then God is speaking, and we get caught up in the middle. Listen, if God is speaking, just follow him and he'll be your shepherd.
Amen.
If God is speaking to you on the opposite, he's not your shepherd. Then when you're not your shepherd, your life is miserable. You have no peace. Most of the time you're going to use some addiction, whether it's smoking, drinking, or drugs, trying to find peace. There ain't no peace in that. That's the devil taking more of your mind. You with me? So I said, wait a minute. I got this little bit of your mind. Now, you got to be dependent on this. You got to depend on God. Amen. If you go, I know I'm all over the place. Go to John 15:5 for just 1 minute. Let me go. I'm going to come back to this. I'm not going to take a lot longer because I don't want y'all to walk out on me. But I just want you to be sure that you're following the shepherd. I'm the other shepherd, but Jesus is the chief shepherd. Right? So anytime the other shepherd is not doing his job, then you should stop following. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe, he's talking about the pastors. Now, we're supposed to lead by an example. Y'all with me? A shepherd. You follow a shepherd. Right? So if I'm walking, y'all supposed to be behind me.
Amen.
Now, if you're in front of me, and I got a whip, and I'm driving you, then you're the shepherd. Y'all with me?
Amen.
I think you should illustrate an example. So you can get it right. If you're in front of me and I just, I'm just whipping, I'm not a shepherd. Then I'm a cattle. I'm a herdsman. I'm driving the sheep. But the shepherd's not supposed to drive the sheep. He's supposed to lead them out. They're supposed to freely follow him. So I try to make it my personal habit. I don't try to drive the sheep. Because you need to follow the voice of the shepherd.
Yes.
But he says the latter part of 15:5, for without
me,
without me, you can do. So there is, I always got a little story. There's an African bishop. And the African bishop came to visit in America. And the African bishop in America, he said, wow, I'm amazed at how much the American churches can accomplish without God.
Amen.
Wow. Jesus. Huh? I'm amazed how much the American churches can accomplish without God. Isn't that something?
Amen.
So just because you have success, don't mean God's in it. Just because you're doing something don't mean God's in it. Because if God is in it, then it should be right from inside to outside. It should be right from the pastor to everybody in it. It ought to be right because without me, Jesus said, you can do
nothing.
Do nothing. I said, wow, I don't know what this bishop was saying. And I guess with the bishop today, earlier this week, he was telling me some stuff. Listen, if stuff ain't in church, God has, anybody know what a conscience is called? Conscience. I can spell a little bit.
is called a conscience. Your conscience is your God-given leading that He put in you.
Amen.
This is your conscience. So your conscience is what God put in you to help you make the decision between what is and what is
wrong.
That's your conscience. So your conscience won't let you go astray. Your conscience is always going to try and keep you on the right path. So God put a conscience in us so that we can do the right thing. Amen. So when your conscience is stirred, I got in a whole lot of trouble one time because I was told, I told you to do this and I told you to do that. Why didn't you do what I told you to do? I was respectful. I said, sir, my conscience wouldn't allow me to do that. He looked at me, conscious. Yes, my conscious. You see what I'm saying? My conscious. You know when you do the right thing, it's a bad thing. Why are we doing that? Let's go back to Psalm 23. Your conscience will lead you right because God gave it to you. Man didn't give it to you. Now what happens to your conscience is you allow men to impact your conscience. You allow men to change your conscience. So the Bible said what happened in changing your conscience will call good evil and evil good. He said, now when you get to that point where you call it evil good and good evil, he said, that is an abomination before God. So don't allow people to play with your conscience. I don't care if you're a woman and you want a man, that man, don't let him play with your conscience. Amen. If you're a man and you want a woman, that don't let them play with your conscience. Hallelujah. Because you'll get what you want. I heard a preacher say, but you'll lose what you have.
Amen.
So you'll get them, but you'll lose God. Allow your conscience to be your guide. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, let me get down to verse 4. Actually, verse 5. You know, you all can read all in between. You know, He leads us in the path of righteousness. Even in the valley of shadow of death, the shepherd, He won't leave you. That's who I'm going to follow.
Yes.
When I'm in trouble,
yes.
The shepherd is right there.
Yes.
Right? When I'm in trouble, the shepherd is making a way. When I'm in trouble, the shepherd helps me. Now, one other note about sheep. Can I tell y'all just one other thing? And y'all forgive me if I'm taking too much time. One other thing about sheep. Sheep are docile. God refers to His people as sheep. We are the sheep of His pastures. So we're following. Sheep are docile. Sheep can't really protect themselves. That's why they have shepherds. Sheep easily get lost. Sheep easily get lost. They easily get off track. That's why Jesus gave the parable. He said, who has 100 sheep? If one will go astray, he'll leave the 99 and go find. Because sheep easily get lost. Sheep can easily get off track. But a good shepherd will go find. Oh, Lord, don't ever let me get to the point where a sheep go astray and I see they got what they deserve. Look at somebody and say, that ain't God. That ain't God. Amen. You a sheep in this fold? Somebody better come and get you.
Amen.
Now we can't make you come. And when I learned, I read about a shepherd, I really like this. They say a shepherd won't bring a sheep back screaming and fighting. He won't be dragging a shepherd sheep, right? If you read about it in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, he says he picks his sheep up and he carries it. That's a shepherd. That shepherd won't be beating you, prodding you, already messed up. Don't make it worse. So he said, I'll just pick you up. I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to carry you. Because I want you to make it. Let's go to verse 5. This is my last verse, I promise. I would go back to get to what the Lord was dealing with me for all week. That God prepares a
table.
I was like, wait a minute. So all week, I was like, wait a minute. He prepared a table before me in the
presence of my
enemies. So I was like, wow, I got to go. Yeah, I got to go look this up. Because, you know, there's no table in nobody's frame, there's nobody here. Right? How you going to sit down and eat in front of the
enemy?
Think about that, right?
So he said, I'm prepared a table before you. When the enemy ain't around, he said, I do it while the enemy is watching you. Now, back in Israel days, whenever they were going to sign a covenant or commitment or agreement, they would have a great feast. So what God is telling his people in this song, he said, listen, even though the enemy is breathing out insults, even though the enemy is attacking you, he said, I'm about to prepare a table before you in the. Well, how are you going to prepare a table in the presence of my enemy? He said, because I honor my covenant with you.
Amen.
I honor my commitment to you. So even though the devil is coming against you one way, I'm fighting your battle, he's going to flee seven ways.
Yes.
But that word for prepare means God. Now listen, God doesn't just, he prepares a table. Right? Now I know today we're going to go somewhere and eat. About 10 minutes after we sit down, we have some food. Right? Or you go home and slap something in the microwave, 5 minutes, you got some food. Well, this prepare means that God takes some oranges.
Yes.
In front of the enemy.
Yes.
God just holds the fruit ready in front of the enemy.
Yes.
God sets the table in order. God's not in a hurry because he is my shepherd.
Yes.
So he takes time in front of the enemy. And then in front of the enemy, after he takes time to prepare the good meal, he gets the table all set. And then while the enemy is still watching, he just sits down and says, now, you have a feast.
Yes.
And what the Lord does is the enemy is over here and the table is over here. The Lord stands as a shepherd.
Yes.
And because he's standing as a shepherd, the enemy's trying to get to you, but the Lord. Because God is
I like that song, Lord, prepare me
yes.
to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, spotless and true. So today, God is preparing a lot of us to be a sanctuary. But when we get to the drag part, that's where we mess up at. Because we don't want God to try us. Let God be your shepherd. Fall in. We could be, if we were 50 shepherds, and had thousands of sheep, please make sure you follow the voice of the shepherd of the gifts.